Good morning, everyone.
Is the mic? There we go. Good morning. How are you guys doing? Very interesting service so far this morning, huh? I was getting text messages left and right about people missing and realized that our song ministry almost all went down. Sean survived. So we know Sean, we need to get Sean's DNA somehow and draw some blood and inject it into us or something weird like that so that we can all survive COVID, because clearly he's a, he's one of those guys. We always knew Sean was special anyway, but now we know for sure, right? Yeah, you guys know something bad happened when I'm up there leading a song. You know, like things have went seriously south, but we got through it, didn't we? We appreciate Jim getting up there and chipping in, amen. And several people came forward and like, hey, I can help. And I appreciate that heart, brothers and sisters. It's so good that, you know, we don't come together to try to sound amazing, although it is better when we do. Praise, you know. I was just grateful people didn't leave when I was singing. I'm like, amen, they're still here. We're cooking with gas, amen. And then we got Mary to come up and support from the front row, so my wonderful wife, Rachel, came up. She sounded good. Amen. That was awesome. And, of course, Liz is a professional, so, you know. Just to confess her sin for her, she tried to steal my phone this morning. It was just very sad. But Israel will deal with her. Israel's a good husband. He'll take care of her. Right, Israel? Amen. Let's jump into the Word together, amen. We're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll get there here in just a minute. But the lesson I wanted to share with you today, guys, is something that, if you remember last week, Jeff was kind of talking in his sermon, and he had this little, it was interesting, because I was praying. I knew I was going to be sharing the Word today, because I knew Jeff was going to be out of town for the International Campus Ministry Conference, and so he had tapped me to share, and I was praying. I was like, God, please make it obvious what you want me to share next week. And Jeff had mentioned this thing about how important our identity is in Christ and how important it is that we have the right viewpoint on it. And it was just a little, I think, kind of throw-in comment for him. But for me, it was like the light bulb went off. And I was like, for me, this is such an important topic, I think, for all of us to understand that God defines our lives in a certain way. And that it's really important that we look at things through God's perspective and less through our perspective. I think Paul especially, Jesus of course, Peter even, so many of the gospel writers and the letter writers, they were writing these letters trying to get people to change their thinking from worldly to spiritual. Over and over again, you see this pattern of writing of like, guys, don't forget who you are. You're not this, but you're this. You were once this, but you're this now. And there's such a difference in the way that they, over and over again, you see this pattern as you're reading through the New Testament of, hey, remember who you are now. There's some kind of weird thing that's kind of permeated our churches, and I think many churches around the country. And it's this idea of, you know, we used to, especially when I was a younger Christian, we used to talk about pride, right? We talked about the sin of pride. And we were so afraid to be prideful, and for good reason, right? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, right? So we're so afraid to be proud that I think one of the things we did is we threw out the confidence that God wants us to have in who we are in His sight. Because I hear so many people say this. It's interesting. I did a word study one time where I went through the Bible and I tried to find, and I may be missing some if I am. Hey, you know, it wasn't exhaustive, and if I missed one, please let me know. But the only time I could find in Scripture where someone called that was saved called themselves a sinner was once. And that was Paul, and he was making a point about how he said, I'm the chief among the sinners. And he was making a point about how his life used to be. But that was the only time, yet I hear Christians say consistently, I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. And I'm like, that just falls short of what Jesus died for us. It falls so short of what the scriptures say about who we are. And I struggled to find, I was going through scripture after scripture of what I know. Again, if I missed one, let me know. But all these scriptures that I know, I was going through them and I couldn't find any of them that talked about the need for us to camp on who we used to be. I couldn't find any of them that said, don't forget where you came from. Is that a good practice? Yes, to some degree. You don't want to forget who you were. But if you spend so much time in who you were versus who you are now and who God wants you to be, you're going to miss the boat. There's so many scriptures where Paul is like, he says, hey, forget what is behind. Strain towards what is ahead. There's this mindset, even with Jesus, where he gave them different names. I love the whole thing with Levi, the tax collector, right? He renames him Matthew. And literally the name Matthew means gift of God. So the guy that was a tax collector and stealing other people's gifts from God became a gift of God. And do you think Jesus wanted him to sit there and think of all the people you robbed? I never heard once where he sat there and said, Matthew, Levi, you need to remember all the people you robbed and just camp on that. Never. You never hear that. He always talked about moving forward. We got to go make disciples. We got to go do things. And I think there's a mentality that we need to grasp, church, that is far different than the mentality we've embraced for so many years. And that's of embracing the identity that Jesus has given us. I'm going to shotgun you guys a bunch of scriptures today. Okay, and if you want me to send my notes later, it's totally fine. But we're going to go through a lot of passages because you're going to see a pattern here. Okay, you're going to see a pattern here of how Paul, Peter, Jesus defined us in new ways. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Look at Colossians chapter 1. We're going to flip around a lot, so be ready. Get those scrolling fingers ready, right? It's going to say the page turning, but there's a few pages out there still, but most of us are electronic nowadays. But Colossians chapter 1, 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, presents you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. You start to see a pattern here, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. One of my favorite little stretches of the Bible here. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, from now on, then, we do not know anyone in a purely human way. Even if we have known Christ in a purely human way, yet now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us this ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself and counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And one more, Romans chapter 8. Verses 15 through 17. I got to lift up my wife real quick. You know, my wife memorized the entire chapter of Romans 8. She spent about a couple of months doing it, but she's got, I was going to put her on the spot up here, but decided not to be mean to her. So she's like, no. Romans 8:15 says, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Man, there's so much there, right? And I want to break these down a little bit. This concept that we were looking at earlier in 2 Peter, or I'm sorry, in 1 Peter chapter 2, right? It talks about a chosen people. It's literally mean people that were picked out. They were picked. I picked you. Kindred offspring, family stock, tribe, nation birth, countrymen, descendant, family. Those are all the words that are used to describe that chosen people. You're a part of my particular family now. I've chosen you out of the world to be with me. That in itself is like mic drop territory, right? You could just leave on that one. I get to be in God's family. I get to be a chosen person. He chose me. That's amazing. We all want to be chosen, right? We all want to be picked. I want you, you know, our spouses, when they pick us, we're like, yes, this is awesome. But even more so, the God of all creation has picked us to be in his family. Talks about a royal priesthood. Being royal is kingly. Being a royal priesthood is those who were intercessors between God and others. He says, we get to be this now. We get to be this royal priesthood. We get to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Our prayers, the sharing of our faith, living by faith, serving the poor. We get to be these people to the world. What a great mission. What a great purpose for life, right? So many of us walk around going, what is the reason for all of this? If you watch the news for 5 minutes, you're like, this stinks. But we have the answer in who we've been chosen to be. God says, you're the ones to go out and be a remedy to these situations. Our world is so divided right now by politics, by race, by, you know, economics. There's always divisions being formed, but God has called us to be uniters. So go get people and bring them in. It doesn't matter where they're from, what they look like, where they've been, what they've done. Bring them in. Let's all come together and let's be a light to the world. This is God's calling to us. He says, you're a holy nation. You're a set apart group, a multitude. Associated, living together, you're like a troop of people together. You're like this battalion of godly soldiers who've been brought together for a great purpose. God's special possession, it says. Think about that. God's special possession. You are God's special possession. He picked you and he deserves. If you've ever had anything that was really special to you, an heirloom, something somebody gave you, God sees you like that, but even more so. You're like that to God. Us individually and us collectively. Individually, you're a special possession to God. It talks about there in 2 Corinthians about being a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. That you have a new spirit, a new heart. Your soul has now been redeemed. You're not who you once were, but you're now a new creation, something completely different than you once were. I don't even think we can fathom what God is doing in us right now. There's a lot of times where we sit there and go, you know, I had a conversation with one of my best friends the other day, and he's like, I just don't feel like God is answering me. And I said, man, I felt that before, but I guarantee you You may not hear him, but he's working. Because he put his spirit in you. If you've got that Holy Spirit in you, it's working all the time. That Holy Spirit never takes a nap. He's never on vacation. He's always on the job. But us being new creations is part of that. If you get God's Spirit put in you, there's going to be a change. God's Spirit is powerful, and he's going to change you. Amen. It says we're an ambassador for Christ. This kind of harkens back to that royal priesthood, right? A person who acts as a representative or a promoter of a specified activity. We're representatives of God. Man, what a great thing, right? It talks about us being his righteousness. In the broad sense, it's the state of him who is, as is he, I'm sorry, it's a state of him who is as he ought to be. So it's the integrity, the virtue, the purity of life, the righteousness, the correctness of thinking, the feeling, the acting. We're this representative of God. And when you put us all together, especially, it's such a, man, remember those times. Man, I remember the first time I came to church, I walked into the room and I saw all these people, different people from different backgrounds all together. And I was like, this is where God is. It just, and I was not a religious person. I didn't grow up in a religious family. I didn't even really know what I was looking for, but I knew that was different and that was special. That all those people were together and I was like, that looks like God to me. When you see all of that. And guys, I'm telling you, it just goes on and on. It talks about being God's children. It talks about us being heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And there's so many more. Let's take a ride through these together, guys. I hope you're encouraged by this because I've preached similar lessons before, and I tell you, people look at me like I got five heads. And I don't know what it is. There's a part of us inside that doesn't want to believe this. We want to believe the old lie that we're a wasted, useless person. We want to believe the tapes that Satan's been playing over in our heads over and over again. That when we look in the mirror and we see somebody and we don't like them, and we're so quick to review our sin list, all the things that I've done wrong, and we forget that God is doing something great in our lives. And guys, I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to just pass this by like it's just some kind of lollygagging through the streets. And, oh, this is great, and there's fluffiness everywhere. No, this is something that God wants you to hear, that you are different, that you are special, that you are someone worthy of dying for. He allowed his son to go through the worst death possible so you could live, so you could be something different. And I think we just cash that in. We think it's cliche. We put it aside and we don't live by that truth. What would it be like if you walked around every day realizing you were a co-heir to Christ? That you literally, your dad owns it all. Your dad owns it all. You walk into Walmart, guess who owns that? Your dad. You walk outside and you step foot on the grass, you know who owns that? Your dad. There's a difference when you have that kind of mentality. And so many of us are so afraid to be confident and think we're going to get cocky. Well, guess what? If you cross that Rubicon, God will humble you, so don't worry about it. Most of us don't have that problem. We're on the far other side. We walk in places and we don't think there's anything different. I hear Christians talk about all the time, oh, well, there's nothing different about us. We're just these blind, pitiful, poor, naked souls just trying to figure it out. No, that's not who you are. God, you're diminishing God's Spirit when you say those kinds of things. You're diminishing the cross of Christ when you say those kinds of things. When you allow yourself to think that you're nothing more than a sinner saved by grace, you're allowing the devil to get a foothold because you're more than that. And the Bible tells me so. Amen? Look at some more scriptures. I'm going to overwhelm you with these. Guys, you can tell I'm getting fired up and passionate about this because this is important for us. We cannot let this fall. This identity is so important. So many of us identify in all these different ways, and you hear people say that. Well, I identify as this and this. Our world is lost right now with identity. They're trying to figure it out. Our kids are being subjected to some hideous things. And they need to see from their parents people who are rooted in Jesus Christ. Who are rooted in just a powerful and an amazing scripture conviction that just doesn't move. They need to see that. They need to be able to look at that and go, no, I reject what the world says because I know what I should be with Jesus Christ. But yet so many of our children, so many of our children's friends are falling victim to this stuff because they don't see a powerful example. And it's got to come from us. John chapter 15, verse 15. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. He calls us friends. We get to be friends of God. The very next verse, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. We get to be fruit bearers. Romans 6, verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. We get to be free people in Christ. All that stuff that you focus so much on from your past that just had you weighed down is gone in Jesus. It's gone. You know, when Jesus looks down on you and God looks down on you, you know what they see? He sees someone that is pure and blameless because of the blood of Jesus. Now I want to ask you, whose viewpoint's right? Yours or God's? We want to look at God's point of view and go, well, God, that's great and all, but that's kind of rose-colored glasses. And he's like, but he's the creator. He's the one that defines things. So if he's defined that this is who you are, then shouldn't you buy into it? Shouldn't you wear it with pride? Shouldn't you say, yeah, Dad, I will buy in 100%. Because your truth. What I see is just a fabrication. We've got to understand this, brothers and sisters. There's so many more. Look at, there's Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Know in all these things, you are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It doesn't say you are conquerors. It says you are more than conquerors. Meaning, you're going to not only beat it, you're going to smash it down. You're going to do the David with Goliath that he didn't only throw the stone and hit him in the head and knock him over, but you're going to lop the head off too. You're going to finish it. That sin that's dogged you, you're going to whoop it because you've got the Spirit of God in you. And the Spirit of God is an illuser. So whatever's dogging you right now, you are more than a conqueror. Amen? Galatians 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. We are crucified with Christ. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, what God prepared in advance for us to do. We've been created to do good works. God created you to do good works. Have you ever wondered why you were created? To do good works. God has all these lists of things out there for you to do. They're just laying there for you to step into. And man, I tell you, when you do the things that God wants you to do, man, isn't it amazing? Have you ever had one of those days where you just dumped it all out for God? Where you just said, man, you took the most of every opportunity. You had a great time in the Word. You had a great time in prayer. You shared some time with a brother and sister. You shared your faith. You did all the things. You're like, man, and you lay down and you feel good. Because you're like, I did what I was created to do. I've heard people say before, we're not human beings. We're not human doings. We're human beings. Sort of. We are to be. There are times that we are to be still. There are times that we are to rest. There's a Sabbath day for a reason. But what you were created to do was good things. There's a doing part of it. And when we try to neglect that, we miss out on even faith itself. Because the Bible tells us very clearly in James, faith without deeds is dead. Amen? So we've got to do something. We can't just sit at home and watch TV every day. Something's got to be done. Because there's good works for us to do. Two more. Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Citizens of heaven. Did you know already that you're a citizen of heaven? Amen. Already. Yeah. You're already there. You're already a citizen. You got the ticket. Isn't that awesome to think about? I don't know about you guys, but I can't wait to be with God. I'm ready to get rid of this earth. Forget it. I want the new one. I want to hang out with God. I'm looking forward to it. A friend of mine from Columbia, Missouri, died this last week. And my heart's been heavy, but there's a part of me that has been, is almost jealous. Because I'm like, he finished the race. He was a disciple of Jesus. And man, this guy had been through it. I'm telling you, he had a rough life, but this guy, he persevered. And I go, man, I cannot wait for that day. I feel bad for my family, my friends, and all that. But for me, I'm like, yes. Right? We get something great to look forward to. And we've already got the ticket punched. Last one here, Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Not only are you crucified with Christ, but you're also raised with him. You've been raised to a new life. And what's cool about that? What's cool about that, you know, every week we take communion together and we take the cup, the blood, right? And we talk about how the blood that washes away our sins, that's a continual process. That's continually happening over and over and over again. And we're in this cycle of God forgiving and wiping away over and over again. And it's such a blessing. Could you imagine having to do things the way they did it in the Old Testament? I'd be toast, Old Testament style. Have to go stand in line with a, you know, like a sheep or something, or trying to hold on to a dove, you know, maybe stick it in a raggedy old cage and it's like flopping around. That would stink. But the fact that I can just go to my brothers and sisters and I can confess and I can go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. And I can come before him and I can confess and then repent of my sin. And God forgives me. It's such a blessing. It's such a blessing to get to live in this Christian identity. Brothers and sisters, what is the point of all this? The point of all this is let God define who you are. And the evidence is overwhelming. I didn't even touch. That was like slicing off the tip of the iceberg. There's all these passages over and over again where every one of these gospel writers, where Paul or Peter, they're all like, hey, look, This is who you used to be is gone. You're someone new now. And you need to embrace that. Don't come in with your head down thinking I'm worthless, because that's not true. You're God's special possession. There's an answer to all of it. Every one of those things you felt, all those insecurities I've felt, there's an answer to all of it. There's an answer to it where God says, no, you're this. And we have to start programming our brains to think that way. We have to start doing like Colossians 3 says, of thinking about things above, not on earthly things. Of changing our mindset to go, you're not this downtrodden, poor, weak person. You're a special possession, and God chose you to do something great. And guess what? I'm one of the great examples of God choosing someone weak to do something. I shouldn't have been chosen. I should have been last on the list. There's people better looking, smarter, can talk better than me. They're all over the place. There's a list of people I said, God, I think you should have took them instead. But God said, no, I want you. And he said that about you. He said that about you. He said that about you. Every one of you. He said, you know what? I want you. And I've got a mission for you. Guys, it's so important that we wrap our mind and hearts around this. There's such a war going on today for our souls. And it starts with this. It starts with, you know, Jeff said something a few weeks ago that I thought was very amazing, because I'd never thought about it that way. But he said the beginning of sin is forgetfulness. And I'm like, that's so true. Is we forget. And I think if we remember who we are, it's going to help us avoid some of the pitfalls that we're so used to. When we get tempted with something and go, wait, I'm a child of God. I'm not going to go down this road. You know, I'm God's special possession. I'm not going to go down this road. I'm not going to talk like this. I'm not going to act this way, because I'm an ambassador to Christ. There's a mindset change, a repentance, if you will, that will happen if we embrace this. But we've got to fight the old ways. We've got to get rid of the mentality that just wants to weigh us down and make us believe we're not worthwhile. God has a vision for all of us. It's encapsulated in the scriptures. It's enduring. It's inspiring. And I love this last verse I want to give you, Romans 4:17. The very end of that verse, it says, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. That doesn't describe how God looks at us. Because we were dead in our sins, right? But we, the optimal word is were. You were. When you're in Christ, it all changes. So let's embrace this, brothers and sisters, friends. Let's get a hold of this. Let's live it. Let's step into it. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. God, you are awesome. Thank you for being so amazingly loving to us, for being so merciful. God, it's amazing that we can step into this kind of identity. God, that we can step away from the world-defining identities of, you know, Republican, Democrat, and all this stuff, these back and forth, side to sides, the things that we get caught up in, choosing sides. God, let us choose your side. Let us choose to be with you, to be disciples of yours, to step into the vast identity. God, it's overwhelming. Just thinking of all those scriptures we looked at, and it's not even scratching, you know, the tip of that iceberg, God, of how just this vast, you know, identity we get to step into and be a part of, and who we are in your sight, God, is so amazing and so life-changing. And yet there's part of us, God, that just wants to slough it off. We don't want to step into it. We want to believe the old ways and get caught up in the old thoughts. But God, help us kick those away. Help us to buy into your viewpoint, God, the way that you see things. That's the truth. Not what we get, you know, not from our worldly perspective. We love you, God. We thank you for this opportunity. Again, we pray for all those that are sick, God, and those that are traveling. Please be with them. Help the sick to get healthy. Help the traveling to get home safely. And God, I pray for all the rest of us to have a great Sunday, to make some decisions, to really get closer to you. We love you. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great Sunday.